Got a good little crowd here tonight. What I wanted to speak to us tonight about is, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to discuss a few things. If you recall, at this point in time, Jesus has been with his followers, as apostles, for around 3 years, teaching them and walking with them, talking with them day and night. And we're going to discuss just one of them for a few minutes, Peter. And if you recall, at this time in Luke chapter 22, this is just before his arrest, just before his crucifixion, just before his death, burial, and resurrection. And at this time, they have come to Jerusalem for to partake of the Passover feast. And after the feast had been ended, in verse 19 it says, "And Jesus took bread and brake and gave thanks and brake it and gave to them and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' He said, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many.'" He is initially setting up what we call, what we often say now is the Lord's Supper. He is giving last instructions to them, and he goes on as he continues to talk in this chapter. He is trying to encourage them and strengthen them for what's coming. He has said and told them many times before that of his pending death, his pending sacrifice for all mankind. And at this point in time, I do not think that they fully, and I'm quite sure they fully don't understand what he's talking about. And oftentimes when people today, when we relate to them about the gospel of Christ, the good news, oftentimes we find people that really don't, as you might say, get a handle on what the Bible is saying to them. And we have to be patient and loving and caring and repeat till this has a opportunity to absorb into their minds and they can clearly understand what the Lord is talking about and what the Lord is saying. Such things as worship, such things as obedience to the gospel, and what is the plan of gospel. He says in verse 31 to Peter, "And the Lord said unto Simon Peter, 'Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.'" He goes on to say, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith faint not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus here is knowing what's going to take place. Of course, Peter doesn't. And he is explaining to Peter how Satan is going to deal with him. And he is explaining that it's going to be difficult, and Satan is going to try Peter. He's going to try to sift him as wheat. But Peter at this point, and oftentimes Peter speaks out, don't he? And at this time he says, verse 33, he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And, you know, it's, and no doubt when Peter said this, I feel myself, my own personal thinking, I think Peter actually meant it. And oftentimes we will make the comments, "I just want to do what the Lord says to do." But then when it gets down to the point of doing it, we sometimes hesitate. Sometimes we just flat don't do it. And why? We intended to do it, didn't we? We wanted to do it. Satan is powerful. And remember, Satan's going to want to sift you just like he wanted to sift Peter, if you let him. He can't do it unless we let Him. And Christ told Peter, I'm praying for you. And the Lord don't love or didn't love Peter any more than He loves any one of us. And if the Lord would have paid for Peter, and He did, the Lord's concern and love for us is just as strong. And we need to understand that and accept it. But the Lord answers Peter and He says, now let's back up just a moment to verse 32 when He says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now you would think after 3 years of being with the Lord, I would be converted, wouldn't I? Or you, or some, or Peter. Remember, this is the same Peter in Matthew chapter 16, in the very, very beginning, when Jesus, starting verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. Who do men say that I am? And they spoke out, of course, and said, some says that there are John the Baptist, some Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So that is lifting Christ up above just the average person, wasn't it? And Jesus asked them, and this is a question that comes to each and every one of us, but who do you say that I am? Now, that's important. Is Jesus the force in your life that you look to for the answers in life? If He is not, you're looking in the wrong place. He gave us, He gave us His Word, the New Covenant. He gave us a roadmap to a better place. Now, God has created this earth for all mankind to enjoy, and we do, don't we? And this earth is beautiful. Many places in it is just breathtaking. And we can enjoy that, and God wants you to. He gives us the animals to enjoy. And He wants you to. And He even gives us power over all the living creatures on this earth. Us. Because we were that special to Him. And He says... Peter speaks up then once more, and Peter says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He makes this, what we refer often to as a good confession. He confessed before everyone that he believed that Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, the confession, he was the Son of God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And oftentimes, just a little footnote, he said he would build whose church? Who's it belong to? He shed His blood and He purchased it and bought it for us, didn't He? Who is the church? If we're a child of God, we are His church. He bought us with His own blood. He shed His blood that we might have forgiveness of our sins and a heavenly home that this earth cannot even compare to. The most beautiful spot we could ever see here, as I said before, that breathtaking spot that you gaze at and love to see is nothing. It would be, in my estimation, like looking into a sewer compared to heaven. And we've never seen it. We don't know what it's like, but it's there and waiting for you. It has already been prepared. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you unto myself, that where I am there you might be also. That's a promise. Now, I want to be there, don't you? I believe everybody that's sitting here tonight actually wants to be there. But there's only one way of getting there. It's not like a road map you look at, which is difficult and there's little tracks everywhere. GPS, is that what you call it? Yeah. GPS will take you to a place, usually. But it may take you through the back roads. You may have to travel and get in awful places before you ever get to where you want to go. But with the Word of God, there's no confusion. There is only one way, one road, and it leads straight to heaven. Now, it may be a little difficult because Christ told us while He was walking this earth that there would be people that would scoff at you for being a Christian. They would be people who would not believe that Jesus was even the Son of God. As we know, for a little fact here in Luke, we would see where He was crucified. In verses 28 of this chapter, as it closes, He says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here." At this point in time, while Jesus was talking, He said, "There be some standing here which will not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Now, a lot of people today actually are looking for the kingdom to come. And if they are correct in their estimation that the kingdom yet is to come, then all I can say is there must be some terribly, terribly old people still on this earth. Because Jesus said that they would not taste of death till they saw His kingdom coming. And if time holds out, we will get to that later in Acts when the church or the kingdom first came. When Christ died, shed His blood, purchase the church, the kingdom, the family of God, the house of God, many names referring back and giving honor to God, the Godhead. How many names do we have today that do that? In chapter 17, since we're already there at the Mount of Transfiguration, after this had taken place Moses and Elias came and talked with Jesus. Now, these men have been dead. Who did Jesus take with Him up on the mount? Peter, James, and John. Peter was involved in this. He saw this. Christ told him, don't talk about this to others until this is over. My suffering is over. My crucifixion. Because he did not... Then he says, as they went away, Peter once more makes the statement, "Let us build three tabernacles or tents here, one for thee, one for Isaiah, and one for Moses." And in verse 5, "And as he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." You know, I am convinced God has never changed His mind. He is still saying that to the world today through His Word, even through His creation. Hear ye Him. And many, many people, as you know, in our world today, will turn a deaf ear to Him. They will not hear Him. And you might say, well, of course they'd hear Jesus. Well, you know, if He is here to talk to them, they'd listen to Him. Everybody'd be glad. Wouldn't it be a great thing if you knew Jesus was in Lansing tonight? This barn wouldn't hold people, would it? Wouldn't even begin to, especially if Tim over here advertises it. Well, you know what? He is. Spiritually. He's with His children every time they assemble. He is here through His Word. If you want to know what the Lord has to say about something, ask Him. Read His Word and find out what He's got to say. In Luke chapter 22 again, the Lord told Simon, Peter, that Satan is desiring to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you. And when you are finally converted,
What does the word conversion mean? What does conversion mean anyway? Turning about, turning around, changing. If I have a vehicle out here and that vehicle is a convertible, guess what? I can convert it. I can take the top down and it no longer is a standard automobile. It is a convertible. Well, it's still a convertible with the top up, but you know what I'm saying. It is a vehicle with no top. It's been converted. Why do you think they called them a convertible? So he says, when you are converted, strengthen thy brothers. And Peter then speaks up and says, I would even go to death with you. I'd go to prison for you. And then Jesus tells Peter a statement in verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow till before that thou shalt deny me thrice. Shall thrice deny me. Three times. Reckon how Peter felt then. Then, you know the rest of the story. How that when they sang a hymn and prayed, they went out, he went up on to Gethsemane, he prays. The apostle Peter, James, and John go out with him specially. They fall asleep while he's praying and suffering, agony, knowing what's coming in just a few hours. Then the soldiers come with Judas, who betrays him and takes him. And I want you to catch this statement. As after they have taken Jesus away, brought him before the chief priest. Verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house. This next statement, Peter followed afar off. Now, if we are going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you we can't follow him afar off. We can't be halfway. Now, if you're following me and I'm heading down to the firehouse, say, or down to the grocery store, and I'm at the other end of the parking lot out here and I'm talking to you, and you're back here following me, did you hear what I said? You got awful good ears if you did, didn't you? Yeah, but I can see you. And I'm following you. That's how the religious world treats Christ today. And they assume that they've understood what he said. That don't work. We have to be, and Peter had to be, close to the Lord to get the full message. Well, as you know, as Peter goes on, in John, chapter 21, actually, the crucifixion has happened. Our Lord has hung on the cross. He suffered. He's paid the price, shed his blood, bought each and every one of us that's sitting here tonight and every other human being that's on this earth. He has paid the price to obtain us and take us away from the grip of Satan, who wishes to sift us like wheat. He has arisen from the grave, victorious over death in the grave. You no longer have to fear death. Death is only a passage through a door. I'm in the building right now. I can step out that door and I'm out on the ground. Death is, I'm convinced, like that. We have the examples in the Bible. We won't have tonight time to press on that. But death is going from this state of a physical life to an eternal and spiritual life, just a step away. How long will it take us to get there? Can we measure it on our watch or on a map? No. It's so instant between life and death. You might say it's like the snap of your fingers. Then you're in eternity forever. You have already chosen where you want to be. And you might say, well, yeah, but I really didn't want to be in torment and hell. I don't want to be there. Of course you don't. But if you choose to be there, that's where you'll be. And you can't blame God. He has given us a roadmap. He's given us every opportunity to follow Him. It's up to us how close we try to follow Him. And far off is not close enough. As they went up on the mountain of Transfiguration, I'm told that mountain is very high, very dangerous mountain to climb. Varmints and animals was on that mountain. Even the snow tiger is supposedly on that mountain. And it took a while to get up there. And I read a statement that a man had made about Peter, James, and John following Christ. And he said they should have been following Christ close enough to have smelt the dust and heard the flop of his sandals. Now, how close are we following Christ? Are we that close?